A reading from the book of Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and one of great age took his seat. His robe was white as snow, the hair of his head as pure as wool. His throne was a blaze of flames, its wheels were a burning fire. A stream of fire poured out, issuing from his presence. A thousand waited on him. 10,000 times, 10,000 stood before him. A court was held, and the books were opened. I gazed into the vision of the night, and I saw, coming on the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man. He came to the one of great age and was led into his presence. On him was conferred sovereignty, glory, and kingship. And men of all peoples, nations, and languages became his servants. His sovereignty is an eternal sovereignty which shall never pass away, nor will his empire ever be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord is King, let earth rejoice. Let all the coastlands be glad. Cloud and darkness are his raiment, his throne justice and right. The Lord is King, most high above all the earth. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The skies proclaim his justice, all people see his glory. The Lord is King, most high above all the earth. For you indeed are the Lord, most high above all the earth, exalted far above. Above all spirits, the Lord is King, most high above all the earth.
A reading from the second letter of Saint Peter. It was not any cleverly intended myths that we were repeating when we brought you the knowledge of the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We had seen his majesty for ourselves. He was honored and glorified by God the Father when the sublime glory itself spoke to him and said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. He enjoys my favor." We heard this ourselves, spoken from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have confirmation of what was said in prophecies, and you will be right to depend on prophecy and to take it as a lamp for lighting a way through the dark until the dawn comes and the morning star rises in your minds. The word of the Lord. Let us stand to acclaim the gospel. Alleluia, alleluia. This is my Son, the Beloved. He enjoys my favor. Listen to him. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain where they could be alone. There, in their presence, he was transfigured. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them. They were talking with him. Then Peter spoke to Jesus. "Lord," he said, "it is wonderful for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when suddenly a bright cloud covered them with shadow. And from the cloud there came a voice which said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. He enjoys my favor. Listen to him." When they heard this, the disciples fell on their faces, overcome with fear. But Jesus came up and touched them. "Stand up," he said, "do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw only one Jesus. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus gave them this order: "Tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes we're often locked into a world that we don't really know, but can't put it down. The news channels are with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And mobile phones, aren't they wonderful? People can read them while they're riding bikes, driving a car, and they think it's normal. But sometimes we need to get out of the modern world. And this is what Jesus is doing with his disciples. And Jesus often did that whenever he was facing a trial of some kind, something he was anxious about. He would withdraw and take, as it says in today's gospel, his favorite disciples with him. He did it in the garden at Gethsemane. So, this wonderful world we live in doesn't have the rays of brightness coming off Jesus. But the disciples recognized that something was going to happen because he was going up the mountain again. And then all of a sudden, something happened. Things like this tend to be told that they're myths. It didn't really happen. It's very difficult to judge something without having the trust and hope that the people who tell us were telling the truth. This is special, this story, because all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell the same story. All three evangelists say it is so important that we must write about it. So, if it's that important, we should take notice. One of the things that is quite often associated with this feast is the atomic bomb at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the first being dropped on the 6th of August. And people tell the story of this blinding light, bright as day, and this silhouette of people that were there and were suddenly gone. Huge story. And a huge story, and we know it's true because we have the newsreels and we have people alive that were part of that still, who can tell the story. So belief is very important. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. He's telling the disciples and us that he's going to be crucified. He's on his way to Jerusalem. But not only did he give them strength in themselves by showing himself in this transfigured state, he also gave himself strength to face what he had told them he was going to face. Death, persecution, and then resurrection. Many, many times throughout our lives, we will have times when we too get transfigured. Maybe not the same way as Jesus, but we have events that happen in our lives that are so extraordinary and so important to us that we sometimes write them down or keep them at the forefront of one's memory. It could be when you first fell in love, when you married, when you reached a certain age and you had a big party. But you remember those key points in your life and keep them to the forefront. And Jesus is saying to us exactly the same. These events in Jesus' life are special, and we receive strength from them, as he did on Mount Tabor before he went to Jerusalem. But also there are other things that can transfigure our lives and our love for Christ, because that's what we're talking about. The transfiguration was an act of love, an act of hope, where God gave his Son, the ultimate present, to us, to die for us. And yes, he was God, and maybe God doesn't have any fears, but Jesus, in his humanity, must have had huge anxiety about what he was going to face. In the same way as Moses and Elijah come into the story, Moses was given a huge task, the new law for his people. And the people gathered round him and in his everyday life would know about that, hence the importance of Moses being there. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets, some say the greatest. But Jesus also knew, as a prophet, as well as the Son of God, he was going to be put to death in the same way as the prophets had been. So he, in his own way, needed reassurance. He needed help from God, as we sometimes do. We read this story twice in the liturgical year, the other time being during Lent. And it's there to give us strength and faith in our lives, but also to make sure and ensure that we're not on our own. He shows his humanity in needing help and grace. So that is extremely important to remember as individuals. The anniversary of the atomic bomb was such a huge thing in the world that many of us who grew up in the 60s and 70s, I'm sure, remember the fear the world lived in, having to learn about the anti-transfiguration, you might say, of the nuclear weapon. And I certainly remember having been shown videos, or should I say films in them days, of what to do in this enormous event if it happened. So Jesus was actually showing the apostles a look into the future of heaven, that this is what heaven would be like. It would be a cataclysmic change in their lives when they went to heaven. And it's hard, I know, to think what heaven is, because heaven is something different to each one of us. But we now have, through these stories, trusted stories, the promise of eternal life and us being transfigured with Jesus. So today, what do we take away from the Mass? Hopefully, it's prayer that the universal church is saying that we do not want to become part of a transfigured world like Hiroshima or Nagasaki. We don't want to go through the suffering that those people did in their these events that they had with their transfiguration. It's important that we pray for peace, that the whole world be transfigured into a peaceful society, that war no longer happens, that we have respect between nations and cultures. But God can give us peace in our minds and in our hearts. The rays that are often depicted coming from Jesus can shine on us and give us that hope and help for the future. So if you are struggling in this world, and we all have struggles at different times, remember that Jesus was transfigured in a way that can give us hope, help, strength, and grace in our lives, no matter how small. And I say it many times, what you can do for others to transform their lives, the smile, the listening ear, that symbol of love, a hug, a kind word. Transfigure other people's lives with those gestures, with a smile, with a thank you. May God break the violence that is around the world in the different countries. May he give us the strength to deal with difficulties in our lives so that together we can transform the world.